They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
I like big butts.
We even had a pre-show meeting. And then that's the way we started. What is wrong with us? We were talking perfectly normal. All right, we'll do this, and we'll talk this, and we'll do this, and then just...
If you're new to the podcast, that's all it is. That's all it is. Tune out now if you don't like that.
If you're new to the podcast, why are you here at this point? It's Shitting with the Door Open. Harley Breed and Wade Duffin with you as always. And we're in the same room.
Again. This is great. I love being in the same room. It's so nice.
I'm having the best time.
Melbourne is a great city.
Well, I'm here kind of for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, kind of not. Like, I'm not a registered
Like, festival adjacent, almost.
Yeah, so I'm doing best of shows, sort of lineup shows, and I'm just here for the week, and I think I'm having my favourite time.
Great.
Because there's no stress. I don't have a show that, you know, I've had to develop to be in it. I don't have a show that I have to sell, you know, to get bums on seats night after night. All I'm doing is hanging out with mates.
Yes.
I'm doing like a 10-15 minute spot at the top of these lineup shows and then just hanging out with mates.
And I will just say, just on that, the amount of work that people do going into this festival, if they have a show at the festival, if you have a favorite comedian that you want to see, if there's somebody out there that you like, you said it the other day, you had a beautiful reel. What was it again?
It dawned on me that there's a lot of comedians, and which means that there is a comedian for everyone. And the point I was trying to make in that is style, who they are. Like, there's so much diversity in comedy.
Yes.
There is literally someone for everyone. You'll find them. You might not like all comedy and you don't have to, but there is someone for everyone.
The work that goes into it and how hard it is to, like, get bums on seats, to move things. Like, you might, like, see some of the bigger names out there and they're always, like, selling tickets, but that is the 0.01%.
Totally.
You know? Everyone else is just, like, they're hustling.
Yeah.
And so if you enjoy comedy, if you want a night out, get out there and do it.
Absolutely.
There's comedy festivals in Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney. They're all coming up.
Yep.
Melbourne at the moment, Sydney and Brisbane.
Perth.
Perth.
Adelaide Fringe is finished. Yes.
I think Perth is finished as well.
No, that was Perth Fringe World.
Oh.
And next is Perth Comedy Festival. Two different festivals. Yeah.
There you go. So get out there and enjoy yourself. There's some good laughs to be had. And it's all good vibe.
And also a little fun fact for you that people don't really realize this. I think they see stand-ups on stage and just go, well, that looks like fun and easy.
No.
In general, I reckon the average, I'm just going to throw this out there, that a one-hour solo show, on average for any comedian, would take a minimum of 6 months to write.
Yes.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount.
The amount that you see on stage, think of, it's like an iceberg. You've just seen like the tip of the iceberg that you can see. All the stuff, all the hard work that went underneath it, all the jokes that didn't make it, all the great jokes that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Into the show.
Yes, totally.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All the stuff that they've had to try, like night after night, like here's a new joke, and you have to get up there and slog it out. No, it didn't work. Gotta try it again. You're really putting yourself out there emotionally.
Yeah.
This is why I have no interest.
Totally. I remember when my dad was a preacher, he said to a group of the congregation, how long do you think it takes me to write a 20 minute sermon? And this man that went to his church, who was a mechanic, went, 20 minutes? Like, that was the perception. 20 minutes? No. What are you talking about?
People who don't understand the arts sometimes can be like a bit frustrating with how dismissive they can be of it.
Yes. Oh, correct.
How they can be kind of like, well, just don't do it. Oh, just fucking, it's just acting, mate. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, totally.
Not realizing how much of a role the arts plays.
Huge, massive
in your
role.
Life. Yeah. From, like, you know, what we think of as art, like paintings and sculptures and stuff, to comedy, to theatre, to music, to movies. Like, you put on the radio, art.
Yeah.
You go watch a TV show, art.
You open your front door and go into the house that you live in as a result of a creative mind.
Yes.
Thinking about different ways to house people.
Yes.
Like,
You look around your furniture. Like, it's people designing these
yes,
things.
Yes, absolutely.
So just a little bit more respect for the arts out there, I think. That's what I'm saying. A little bit more respect.
We save lives. No, I agree, but it's a great time of the year down here in Melbourne.
And Ethan Hawke, I'm just going to interrupt you because it's my microphone and I'll do what I want.
Welcome to the Ethan Hawke Appreciation Podcast.
Well, he has got this beautiful little clip. I see him and he's like, people don't really understand poetry until they need it.
And I've seen this.
Like you lose like a loved one or there's like a breakup or some huge emotional thing happens and you're trying to get understanding of what this is. Yeah. And that's when you turn, and you don't know how to express it.
Totally.
And that's when you turn to like poetry and the arts and whatever it is.
Absolutely.
And it's such a poignant thing to say. And I think it's very true.
Yeah. Well, I even noticed the mood change in our house. Like, it'll be sort of later in the day. Things are starting to get a bit steamy. The kids are, you know, you can see they're unraveling.
Yep.
They're probably hungry. We're heading towards dinner time and bedtime. And I just go, oh, there's no music on. And so I'll pop something on and I'll just put something into Spotify like happy vibes, energy, good times. And you put it on and within moments of the music being on, you can feel the energy changing in your kids. Like, it's powerful.
It is powerful. Yeah. So get out there and support some artists.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. It's honestly, it's good for you. It's good for them.
Yep. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. What's going on?
What is going on, man? I went after our great chat last week.
Wasn't it? We stayed on topic. We were professional and mature to boot.
Such a great chat. But anyway, it was about the exercise. Like, that was a good chat.
Yeah.
Treat it like a job. And I've been thinking about it. If you treat it like
a job,
moving forward, we're just going forward.
I just got the little glimmer in your eye.
Yeah, but I got the glimmer in your eye. We just gave each other a cheeky look and then looked away real quick. Just move forward. Go.
Like, as awkward as a first date, you know, it's like,
are we flirting?
But yes, exercise, because I even got a message both of us did, from my little brother that said, great episode, but have you exercised yet? And the answer to that from me is no.
And
from you?
Yes.
Great.
Went for a great walk this morning and I almost put it off. I was almost like, oh, I've got to fucking do this and that. But Claire was home. She's like a rare morning at home at the moment because she's super fucking busy. And I was like, all right, I'm going. And then Claire was like, oh, do you want to just walk to Harley's with the mics, you know, to Broken Stone? And I almost said it. And then I was like, no, I just want to walk with zero purpose.
Yeah, right.
I didn't want to have a goal. I didn't want to have fucking, oh, I've got to do this. Because then it almost was turning into like a, I don't know. I just wanted to walk.
Which is funny because I'm the opposite. Because that immediately appealed to me. For you to walk to here. I'm like, yeah, that's my kind of walking. I'm doing a thing. Well, going to place.
It did make sense. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to walk down by the river. So I went down for a walk to the river, like an hour and a half walk along the river.
That's a decent walk.
And, you know, it's downhill and up a hill and stuff. Hips are a bit sore at the end. But it was excellent. And because I treated it as I left the house, like, this is something I have to do. It's not something that I want to do.
Yes.
This is something that I just have to do.
Yeah.
I think people, I saw the statistic, and I have no idea if it's true or not, but I'm just going to say it on the podcast.
You didn't come here for truth or correct information.
That if you're in a relationship with an inactive partner and an active partner, the inactive partner will die 7 years on average before the active partner.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like looking at like, you know, a few years before Claire anyway.
Yes, totally.
So I'm like, no, just get out and get moving.
Yeah, because I think in relationships we want it to be a competition. Yeah. I'm going to beat you.
It's a race to the finish line.
I'm going to outlive you.
Then we'll see who's the winner. I was laughing then. And just at the end, I did it.
I did it.
Nobody believed in me. None of you.
That's your eulogy. Yeah. And your partner's view, I did it.
Yeah. Nobody here thought I could, and I did. Drop the mic and walk out. Jesus Christ.
And how do you feel post-walk?
I feel great.
Right.
It really was excellent. And then I got home and made some eggs on toast, eggs and avocado on toast, which is one of my favourite lunches.
You never buy a house if you keep doing that.
With like this crispy Chinese chili oil that I've
Oh, yes.
I love that Great. Stuff. I love it, drizzled over the eggs. But on the walk, I need to use the toilet. And, you know, I was going up at the same time as like an older dude was trying to get there at the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let him go first.
Sure.
Dude was in his like 80s.
Yeah.
When somebody's in their 80s and they're going for the toilet, you let him
you
go.
You let him go.
You let him go.
Yeah, otherwise you're in a whole different situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just looking into the eyes of a man that just shit himself because you jumped in front.
Please. Please. Help me, please. Oh, sorry, old man.
I've made a whoopsie.
Anyway, but he was just staring at the door. And, you know, it's like a like more of a, like a modern public toilet, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, one of those auto toilets.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fill me with dread, those. And then, I'm like, I don't know how long it takes me to do a poo. Yeah. They go, you've got 10 minutes. I'm like, I've watched whole episodes of Grand Designs in here. Like, is that door going to open?
It's always like that Barry Manilow song.
Yeah, I know. The world
needs now. Like every single one. Anyway, so he's just staring at the flashing light. And after like a few seconds, I was like, oh, mate, you just doesn't know how to open the door. Which I also... Technology moves so fast.
Absolutely.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but I do.
Oh, I've been confused at those toilets.
I'm confused a lot. So I said, oh, hey, mate, just press the flashing light. And he goes, yeah, no, all good. I'm just sussing this out because I'm going to come here later.
What?
I'm like, what?
Are you just casing the joint?
I'm sussing it out.
I'm working on a shit at the moment. And when I'm done with it, I reckon this is the toilet for me.
That's what I reckon it was. He was like, I know my body. In 45 minutes after that brand kicks through, I've had my long black. I've got 45. And I'm going to I need to know immediately. I won't have a second to lose.
He's done a pre-poo reconnaissance mission.
Yeah, that's what he's done. It was so funny.
Oh, this resonates with me so much. Because if I know that there's a toilet, because I'm not a public shitter. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I do not like a public poo.
I will do it if I have to.
Oh, well, obviously.
But
if it's like, and it out, like I can be turtling, and if I think I can still make it home.
Yurtle the turtle.
I've held on to a shit from different states. Like I've got onto to a plane with a shit needing to be done and flown home and then got home and shat in my own toilet.
Just on the recon, it's so funny. It was great. But that public toilet, I was on a walk, you know, a few weeks ago, stopped in there, same one, a creature of habit, and somebody left their phone in there.
Oh.
Yeah. So I took it. I hang on to it. I was going to drop it at the police station. And like this dude calls up and he's like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I don't know what you're saying. I've got your phone. Because I couldn't understand him.
Right.
So I just had to cut him off. I was a bit rude. But like friendly. I was like, oh, no, stop talking. I've got your phone. I found it at a toilet. After like 5 minutes of back and forth, like, right, I'll come and meet you. Drop the phone back to him. And he was so grateful.
I bet he was.
He was like these two older dudes, maybe in their like 60s, and they're like, man, you're just a good guy. Nobody does this anymore. Like, how often have you lost your phone and somebody's stolen it? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, you know, but maybe at that age, you're like, oh, there's no honesty anymore in society.
Yeah.
But also, like, you've gone to the same toilet and multiple times you've had interactions with elderly men. Have you, like, stumbled across a senior's beat? Like, what's...
I hope so. That's why I keep going back. Catch him in action. Oh, man. I went to this toilet in Queensland once when I was, like, much younger.
I love this toilet chat on a podcast called Shitting with the Door Open. It's fucking brilliant.
Well, and I was fucking so hungover. I've been out on the beers, like, and I probably had, like, an hour's sleep and probably on the pills as well. And so, like, the next day, I was like, fuck, I've got a shit. I've got a shit. It was, like, 10 in the morning. Whatever it was. Like, the sun was out. Like, definitely my nighttime vibes from the night before were long gone for everybody else
in
the area.
Yeah.
It was a family daytime vibe, and I had a hungover fucking coming down, nighttime vibe. Probably hadn't showered. So I just kind of
sweating bullets.
Just sweating bullets and looking like fucking shit. Anyway, so I was like, I've got to take a shit. Oh, there's a public toilet, right? So I hop in there, shut the door. And the moment, like, as the door's shutting, I'm like pulling down my pants. People are like looking in. I'm like, I don't have time. I got no shame. So the door shuts. And then the little, what the world needs now. Like, that's like, comes on. And I'm just like, fucking. And this was before smartphones. And I just didn't have a watch. So I just kind of like lost track of the
time. You just got to be in there then, in you that environment. In yeah.
And then it's
mindfulness.
Starts,
mindfulness. Shit.
Then the thing cuts over. Your, like, Exaloo time is like 10 minutes.
Yes.
You know, it says that little announcement over the thing. And when it said that, I was like, oh, fuck, I got to get moving. And then I kind of forgot about it. And it said, you got 10, you know, it's only 10 minutes. And not, but I kept thinking it was 10 minutes every time they said it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, it said it one time. I was like, oh, no, it's 10 minutes from when I first came in here. How long have I been in? Fuck, I've got to get out. But I was still shitting. So I was like, push it out. Like, fuck, I can't finish. I've just got to go. So then I start pressing the toilet paper, which comes out like one.
Oh, it's the worst. Like, the job of the toilet paper is to put as much paper between your hand and your asshole. Yeah. So just let me fucking unravel it.
It's just coming out so slow.
The worst.
And then it starts like doing like this weird like countdown thing. In my head, it's probably not, but in my head, I was getting a countdown. Like, that's what I, how I remember. And then so I'm like, I'm like, ah. So finally, I get enough paper wipe. Like, that is clearly not a job well done. Back I go for seconds. And then finally finish. And then the door like opens just as I flush the toilet. And then I was like, fucking finally, there's like, you know, a few people waiting.
Yeah.
But, mate, that's the public toilet. Wash my hands, threw up into the basin and left.
With the door open?
Yeah. But there was nothing I could do. I could just go back and shut it. I was like, and I couldn't rinse my mouth. I don't want to rinse my mouth out with toilet.
No.
I washed my hands with blah, press the tap on again. It's like, I'm sorry. So gross.
Have you ever used, I only very recently had this experience, used the Japanese style auto bidet.
I fucking love a bidet.
My, because there's the sort of more Euro one, which is beside the toilet. You used to have one in your house when you first moved into the place.
I used it a couple of times.
I don't like that one.
I used it a couple of times. I'm like, oh, this is a pain.
I don't know what's going on. The one that you just press a button, it was in a hotel room recently, and I was like, I've used the hose heaps. I'm a huge fan of the hose. I'm going to put it in the rental. You know me, I'll fucking put a mezzanine floor in. But now I've used this thing. I'm like, maybe I can order one, because you can get ones that just clip onto an existing toilet.
Yes.
You plug them in.
Which are way cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Yeah. And the precision of that water on your dot is incredible.
This is where AI is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that is not a job for humans.
AI, my asshole.
That's not like someone's on a camera just watching it. They've got like a giant screen. You know, like the security camera screens. There's like 100 screens and they're just like looking at the little joystick. Locked on.
And then just, they get on the microphone, stop moving please, sir. But here's what happened. So I pressed the button and I was waiting for it for the first time, and then when it hit I made this exact noise. I went and every time I use it, which was a lot, I fucking loved that toilet. I made the same noise. I never got used to it. I was like every
time. I tried out all the functions.
Oh, so did I, mate.
I was like, this one's for the ladies. This one's for the men. This one's for everybody.
I sat in there until my legs went numb. Like, I was like, it's fucking great. Like, it's got a heated seat.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Get the air blowing up there, dry it all off.
Totally.
Yeah. Fuck. And then I gave it a wipe afterwards. Like, no need.
No, nothing there.
Nothing there.
Oh, my God. What are we doing? We live like fucking animals. Because you remember that, like, that whole absolute insane part of our history that we are all a part of, when we ran out of toilet paper because everyone had a fucking panic.
Ugh.
And panic bought toilet paper. And then all of the sort of data came out that I think it's something like only a third of the world uses toilet paper.
Yeah, wow.
The vast majority of the world washes their fucking ass. And we're all like, oh no, what if I run out of toilet paper? Get in the shower, you filthy pig. Like,
fuck, I remember once when I was like a teenager and my reaction to my parents asking me anything was no.
Yeah, right.
Or I don't know.
Yeah.
No matter what the question was, my automatic was like, no, don't know.
I've got one doing that at the moment.
Just, and that was
he
just,
literally no to everything.
Yeah, and that it's was weird. Would have been so frustrating for them.
Yeah,
but they'd ask me like, "Are you hungry?" No, I'd be starving. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'd be like, "Where have you just been?" I don't know. And I'd
do you know on that by the way? Sorry, just as a quick aside, I've stopped asking Leonard if he's hungry. I just make him food.
Oh yeah, great.
Because the asking it doesn't. I know that he needs food right now.
Yeah.
Just make the fucking food, and then you put it there, and he's like, "Oh, thanks."
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway, once like I needed to take a shit. Took a shit in the toilet, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
You're not an animal.
Hey, 7 times out of 10, that's where I always go.
You wouldn't do it in a salad bowl. More than once a week.
The majority of the time, I shit in the toilet, all right? The majority. So I think... It's quite a high percentage of the time that I shit in the toilet.
Coming up next, weirdest place you've shit. Finish this story, and then that's what we're getting into. Okay. I can't believe we haven't done enough shitting content on this podcast.
Anyway, took a shit. No toilet paper, like right beside me. It was probably in a different room. I was like, I'll just take a shower. So I took a shower, but then I just forgot to flush. Just forgot to flush.
Yep.
Absent-minded. When I got dressed, forgot all about it. And then I think like later in the day, like Barry, my dad comes in. He's like, did you just take a shit in that toilet? I'm like, yeah. He's like, did you have a fucking... No, he goes, you just took a shit in that toilet. Did you wipe your ass afterwards? I was like, nah. Did you have a shower? I don't know. Nah. But I did have a shower. I was just so used to saying no. And he's like, that is disgusting. And the look of disgust in his eyes. And he just walked out the door. And he would have been... I imagine like him and Liz would have had a conversation about it. This kid's a fucking animal.
Hello,
I was like a 16.
Because I just had the exact same interaction, but with a four-year-old. Miracle did that. I just walked in and was like, who's done this? I did, Daddy. Like, did you wipe? No. Well, then get the fuck back in here. But you were 16. I love it.
I was 16, yeah. And I was like, can I end up shower? Fully cleaned up. I just forgot to flush. But I was so used to just saying no. And at the time, I was just like, oh, fucking, what does this guy know about? You know, he's an idiot. But now, like, looking back from, like, the parents' point of view,
yeah.
Just I would absolutely would have had a conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the other
hey,
parent
we're going to talk
it.
About Wade.
Like, this is...
There's a problem here.
This guy, he's got some issues.
Yeah.
Like,
did we finish toilet training?
I think he might be playing with it. I was always just, nah, don't know. None of your business.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot with teenagers where it is none of your business. And I'm seeing a lot of... really timely stuff where I saw this one guy who was talking about when your kids become a teenager, they don't want you to tell them stuff anymore. They don't want you to tell them to do a thing or to correct them. Don't I fucking know that. But what they do want is stories and connection.
Yeah, right.
And it was a really perfectly timed thing because I had just had a blow up from Leonard at me going, you know what? You can't critique everything I'm doing.
Yeah.
Is everything I'm doing wrong? And I just, the tone he had, I just started laughing hard, which fortunately was the right thing to do because then both of us laughed. And he was right, I've just been stuck in the mode of trying to show him how to live life and do a thing. And he's now trying to show me what he can do.
Yeah.
And that he is living a life. And now he just wants my stories and just my connection.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to achieve that.
Yeah, yeah, which is hard.
Yeah, totally.
It's hard.
Because sometimes when, you know, when you're steering the ship, you're like, well, this shit just has to get done.
Yeah.
And so I'm the one that has to tell you to go and get it done.
Yeah.
So, but it's a juggling match, right? Because not all kids are the same at different ages. They're going to need different things from you. And he is at a completely different stage of his life than Marigold is.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's a very capable, very capable fucking young man. Not really a kid anymore.
No.
He's a young man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man. Weirdest place you've shit.
Okay.
I can't believe how excited you are.
This is quite I would imagine a unique experience. I was on a church-based men's fishing trip. And we had this huge, big military marquee set up like a massive tent that was where like the mess hall was. Yep. There was a lot of men on this camping trip on a beach called Double Island Point in Queensland. And I needed a shit. So I got my bong, which obviously nobody else knew about but me and a mate. And I trekked up, there's a, like a, it's basically mountain meets the ocean.
Yeah.
And so I trekked up the mountain and found this perfectly placed tree branch.
Yeah, great.
That was big enough to hold my weight. So I dug a hole where I thought it was going to go and then just swung my ass over that as I looked out through the foliage in
beautiful.
The bush. And looking at the ocean and quite a distance away. You'd have to have had binoculars to be able to see me in the bush, but I could see everyone down there. And as I was shitting, I was pulling a bong and looking at two Methodist reverends. It was pretty great.
How good. I can't really think of too many weird places. I can think of like shitting emergencies where I've like, oh, fuck, I've got a shit on the plane right now. I'm in a club and I've got a fucking shit. Maybe in like some hops vines, I think.
Some what?
Hops. Like hops vines. Like I used to work like in amongst all these orchards, and around the orchards were a lot of hop vines. And I remember being at one party one night, like a bonfire party.
Yeah.
And having some drinks and smoking and what have you, and just needing to shit. And then so I kind of would take a little...
You're right.
But nothing... Nothing outrageous.
No. Well, camping shits are always fucking...
Yeah.
An awkward shit, you know, when you're out in the bush. There's nothing better than hitting a stage... Because I quite like camping. And hitting a stage of camping where you just go, oh, I'm just going to get a portaloo.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to take a toilet
with me.
And somehow, either it's attached to a van or a caravan... Or, you know, you have one of those pop-up tents and you put one of those cylinder toilets in there.
Yeah.
And you're like, what was I... Or even, actually, the best one is that my kids have on what they call Nature Day for preppies. And it's literally just a bucket with a toilet seat on it.
Yeah, sweet.
And then you just, it's got a lid that goes back down over it. So if the kids are out in the bush and they need to do that, you're like, yeah, I was there trying to fucking squat over a hole I dug with a shovel. Like, the worst.
Well, like in the hops vines, I didn't have like a shovel or anything. I just found kind of like a little...
Just a natural hole.
A natural, I wouldn't even call it a hole. A natural, slight concave. And I fucking shat a drunken shit. I had some serviettes I'd taken from like the barbecue,
Jesus
whatever
Christ.
It is. And then I fucking wiped up, put the serviettes on top, and then just covered it with like leaves and grass. So gross.
It's actually a big problem in the... apparently in hiking, like they're trying to do some education around you can't leave your shit. Yeah. Like you actually can't leave your shit in the environment. It's not good for it. That's like it's one of the main human developments is sewage.
Yes.
Is taking care of it, right?
Because, you know, we're not like fucking bears or fucking like you just have a little area.
We're not part of the environment anymore.
No. You have like say in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Which is a mid-sized city.
Yeah. Totally.
Globally,
yeah,
it's mid-size.
Probably even small.
Probably even, yeah, it's a smaller city.
Yeah.
And you've got 5 million people
all
shitting. Like, and that's got to go fucking, and it just goes out into the ocean.
Yeah.
Let alone fucking Tokyo, like 25, 30 million or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, remember the time where, as not too long ago in our human existence, your shit would just go out on the street.
Yeah.
It was just shit on the street.
Well, I'd say we bring it back. Bring it back into fashion, like flares.
Well,
you know, it's like baggy pants that come back to like 90s fashion. It's come back into 90s
styles. Let's bring back shitting in the street.
I'm just bringing it back.
I'm old school, man. Well, you're just there squatting in the street. The cops go, what are you doing? You're like, I'm a hipster.
I'm a sovereign citizen.
This is a sovereign shit. Oh, God damn it.
Like leaves. I've used serviettes.
You've got to be careful what you use.
I've used like the telephone book, obviously. Everyone,
Not obviously.
Oh, you've never used your telephone book?
No.
When I was like flatting, we'd run out of toilet paper all the time. And like so often we'd have to like, I think we went through one. because we just kept running out of toilet paper.
You used a whole Yellow Pages.
Yeah. Well, there were like six of us in the house.
That is insane. Like, I get, right,
yeah, but that's not in like a week.
One
that's
page, you get, go and get some fucking toilet.
We were very irresponsible.
Well, this has worked well. Anybody got a Gideon's Bible out there?
You couldn't flush it either. You had to, like, you had to take it out of the toilet, throw it in the bin.
The fact that she got through the whole book is so funny.
But not in one go.
No, I know. That's what's funny. Not in one go. Over the course of a week.
No, over a year. Oh. It wasn't like in one.
Oh, it was the emergency book.
It was the emergency book. It wasn't like we're just like, oh, we're not getting toilet paper a week until we get through this book. We'd run out of toilet paper. We'd have to use the book. And then we'd get more toilet paper. And that would run out, and we'd have to use the book again. Over a week.
Oh, I loved everything about that story. Oh, that was great.
Man, when you should, like, go to the toilet, like, and this is such a great thing to do, but, and I'm sure we've talked about this before, but, like, taking a piss off a high place.
Oh, fucking love it.
Off a cliff.
Yeah, I don't know what there
bridge.
Is about it. Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah, totally.
It's great. Yeah. It's not even, I wouldn't even say fun. It's freeing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh, it's not even something I do to be like, oh, look at me, I'm a cheeky boy pissing off the bridge. No, no, it's like, oh, fuck, this is liberating.
Yeah. Pissing off the bridge.
I'm pissing off the bridge. So great. There is an Instagram page and I don't follow it because I just don't want to. But it's like pissing off high places.
Right.
And every so often it comes up in my reels and it's just like a stream of urine just coming off and like an amazing fucking spot in the world. And all the comments are like, fucking great. No, nice spot for that one. And there's like thousands of people commenting.
This is hectic, right? But have you seen the reel where the guy comes running through the bush and he jumps off a huge cliff jump into a...
and he does the shit. Does the shit.
Like, there was a pre-planning meeting for that. Like, he said to his mate, he goes, I need a shit. I'm going to shit mid-air. You've got to film it. Righto, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Let's go now.
How many fucking times did they fuck that up? I'd be very surprised if that was a one-shot situation.
Totally. Oh, my God.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
There you go.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that.
You might be surprised to know that only one of the things we spoke about we had a plan for. Oh, God damn it. Hey, next up, we're recording a Patreon episode. So if you want to hear what we talk about there, we've got some recipes that we're sharing with each other again. There'll be all sorts of other fun chats to have. You can become a Patreon subscriber if you click the links in our bio. I would love to have you over there. In the meantime, see you, baby.
Dads.